Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Philippians 3 and 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. Apprehending that, for which I was apprehended for. Now, King Solomon, a wise man, God, please give me what I need the most. That's what he prayed. God, please give me what I need the most so I can do this one thing, that which you want me to do the most. What do you want me to do the most, Lord? King Solomon, God, please give me what I need the most so I can do this one thing that you want me to do the most, and that would be your ministry. God wants you to do the ministry the most before anything. 1 Kings 3:6, and Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant, King David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept him for this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son, talking about himself, King Solomon, to sit on the throne as it is today. Now he has an awesome task ahead of him. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. I'm just a little child. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people. You put me in the midst of your people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude that they are. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people that you have put me over, O Lord? And the speech pleased the Lord that King Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked thou the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, to do your work, O God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these other things be added unto you. 1 Kings 3 and 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. God said, I have done according to the words you asked me. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, yes, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father King David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. You didn't ask for it, but I lengthened thy days. He, King David, asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. And King Solomon awoke. Behold, it was a dream. He was dreaming, a spiritual dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That's the place we go. Go to the house of God for something like that. Run to the house of God. Stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered heave offerings and made feast to all of his servants. Now, there's another account of this in 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 7. In other words, it's a different writing at that time. It's the same story. In that night did God appear unto King Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And King Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and thou hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, now Yehovah Elohim, let thy promise unto King David my father be established. For thou hast made me king, king over a people, like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people, or who can judge this people? This is so great. This, and they are so great. And God said to King Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches and wealth, haven't asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemies. You asked me to kill them. Neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches, wealth, honor, such as none of the kings had ever had before that have been before thee. Neither shall there be any after thee like of the like, or have the like as you would have. Then King Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem, and from before the tabernacle of the congregation, and he reigned over Israel. Now, King Hezekiah, he's a descendant of King David and King Solomon. King Hezekiah, he also focused wholeheartedly on this one thing, the work that God had given him to do. In 2 Chronicles 31:20, and thus did Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, before Yehovah Elohim. And every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart. And because he did, he prospered. He prospered. Now, this one thing I do, this one thing is first priority. There's first priority in your life. This one thing I do, this one thing is my first priority. I apprehend that. I apprehend that. For which I was apprehended. Amen. Apprehending that for which I was apprehended. God dwelt with me. He dealt with me 3 years to come to him, 1972 to 75. Yes, sir. 3 years. Yes, sir. So when I was 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, my father would go. He's in the house of God every night. So we went to a tent meeting. My father took me to a tent meeting and Shaka Ferry Road down at Watson Village Shopping Center. Have no idea who preached. Don't know what he preached. Have nothing. Sawdust floor, and the little seats and all that. Anyway, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, got hold of me and woke me down like a look. Woke me down to the front. I didn't even walk. He woke my feet to the front. I was overcome, overpowered, overcome. So anyway, that night I was saved, 8 or 9 years old. I was always in church, always in the house of God. Then I got to a place as a late teenager. My father, he did not say, boy, you going to church with me today. He didn't do it. So I started staying out of church, which was a big mistake. So there I was for some years. If I ever got in trouble, I used to race motorcycles and all that, you know, and if I ever fell and got hurt real bad and had to go to the hospital, emergency room, I'd always say, oh God, please let it be okay. I've got to work tomorrow. I'd pray to him and ask him to help me. All back in those days, I would very sincerely. I asked God to help me, and I talked to him at times, but I really wasn't living for him. So about 1972 to 75, God began to deal with me. And so then I'd sneak and turn on channel 16, kind of look at it sometime. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was like a secret agent, and I didn't want anybody to see me. Then I'd see that and I'd watch that. And Laverne Tripp came on one night and he asked me to pray the sinner's prayer. And I did, but just praying the sinner's prayer, oh, no, no. That's not proof. I've got to have proof. I've got to be knocked down by God. So anyway, it kept on going on and on. And here we go, here, this, that, and the other. My father, we had a trucking terminal in Greenville and in Anderson, too. We had a contract with Seaboard Coastline piggyback route. They'd bring them in. We had it. We was doing Greenville one time and also Anderson, do both sides. and with other freight we were hauling in the trucking business. So I was on my way to the piggyback route to check out, see how many trailers came in that Saturday morning in my pickup truck to go back and get the truck. So I was on the way to the piggyback route, and I went and got my dry cleaning and came back and put it on the open front door and put it on the hall tree right front door. And so then somebody tells me, so-and-so's father was killed by a drunk driver that ran a stop sign last night. Well, I said, this man never knew God at all because he didn't. I said, this person is most likely in hell. He's in hell. So I got in my pickup truck and I'm heading on College Avenue. And so I pulled where it was and I saw the intersection and the thing came to me. You're still alive. You're still alive. You're still alive. You still have a chance. You're still alive. Still alive. And I pulled up my pickup truck, 64, Chevrolet, turquoise and white. I pulled in there and the power of God got hold of me and shook me. Knocked me down, hallelujah. And so from that moment forth, I have been, God chased me down. He chased me down and apprehended me, arrested me. I was saved by an arrest of God at 8 or 9 years old. And then at that time, saved by the arrest of God, December the 20th, 1975. Oh, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Make a long story short, hallelujah. I'm changed from that moment forward. I've never had a second or a day of my life that I have not been chasing God who chased and ran me down. I've been pursuing God with everything within me since that day. Every day I've been alive, I've been chasing God. He chased me down. Now I'm chasing God. Hallelujah. I'm chasing God. And when I got the Holy Ghost baptism on a Wednesday night, Dr. Atkinson said, okay, look, give me two lines here. People who need prayer, healing, some people who need the Holy Ghost. See, when we came to church, we're going to have a Holy Ghost call every time. Oh, all the time. Anyway, I was in that line, and I thought, okay. And so anyway, I got up to Dr. Atkinson, and so he started praying for me. And so I just kept on, and my God, I could just, you know, trying to touch my nose and couldn't hardly touch my nose, kind of getting drunk in the Spirit of God. Some of you never been drunk in the Spirit of God. He's never touched you yet. You never had a touch of God yet. You have not. He'll make you drunk. They were drunk like on new wine. They're not drunk as you suppose. They've all been filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a night, 9 o'clock in the morning. The liquor store's not even open yet. Are you here? Okay, so anyway, that's what it was. So anyway, I just thought, okay, maybe I'll come back and try it again Sunday night. And I kind of, okay. He said, I'm going to pray one more time. And he lays my hand on my shoulder. And the power of God hit me and bent me over double. Woo! Exploded. Dynamite exploded inside me. I couldn't even get up. I was speaking in tongues. I couldn't even stop them. And people listening to me, you don't know about speaking in tongues. There is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it never did end. No, it never ended. Never ended. You can't tell a female who had a baby she didn't have a baby. She had a baby and there's no way you can talk her out of it. She had one. Well, I can tell you I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But she shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power, hallelujah. Power, overcoming power. And so anyway, God arrested me. I've been apprehended for everything. Apprehended, taken over. Everything I've ever done, God apprehends me. He comes and arrests me, overcomes me. Anybody hear that? Hallelujah. So, everything that I have ever done, God has apprehended me. He has come and arrested and overcome me. I couldn't even function. He overcame me. If you have never been overcome by God, I'm a guy, I'm apprehending that. I'm chasing God. He chased me down and chased me and chased me. I'm chasing God every time I go get up, every breath I draw, all things I do during the day. I've been chasing God all morning long. I've been chasing God all night and all morning long. I went to bed chasing God. I woke up chasing God. I've been chasing God before I came out here. I'm chasing God now. Hallelujah. He came and apprehended me. Now I am apprehending all I can from him. Are you listening? So this one thing I do, this one thing is first priority. I apprehend that for which I was apprehended. God dealt with me 3 years, like I said, 72 to 75 to come to him, and I did. God chased me down. December the 20th, 1975, I told you. And since that time, I have been chasing God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. I fought a good fight. I kept faith. In other words, this one thing I do, Philippians 3:13. He said, yes, I have fought a good fight. I've been in warfare. I've kept the faith. Good warfare. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, even in this life, to take my part in this life, not just one day. And he being an apostle, that we will give ourselves continually, Acts 6 and 4, to prayer and the ministry of the word. They are a real apostles chasing God all the time. God chased him down. And he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know, that I may absolutely know him in the power, the dunamis, the very strength, the ability, the very abundant meaning. And that word dunamis too, you shall receive dunamis power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. It means violence. It's violent power of the Holy Ghost that'll take the devil and run him out the door. Are you here? In other words, I may know him in the power of the resurrection, being raised to life again, and in the fellowship, the partnership, and the participation, and the communication, the contribution, and the money, benefaction, you might say, like the support of the ministry that I would do, right? I may know him like that, the Apostle Paul said, of his sufferings, suffering, undergone, influence, emotion, affliction, on and on, being made conformable. Conformed to, granted or invested with the same, like a form of God, to share in the likeness or take on a form like he does of living for the Lord unto his death, is what he said. If by any means, he said all that, the next verse, Philippians 3:11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Apostle Paul's intense desire to know Christ fully encompasses experiencing his resurrection power and sufferings to a higher participation in Christ's risen life beyond just mere physical resurrection. That one day a child of God will be resurrected beyond just mere physical resurrection, but through complete union with him, union with God, striving for spiritual transformation and spiritual standing to live fully and completely for God and ministry. Period. If by any means I might attain, I might come upon, unto, reaching the thing, the resurrection. And the resurrection not only raised from the dead, but it's a word, listen to this, it means to produce and to beget, to arise and rise up. No, the resurrection, you'll be begotten again, but you will help God to have other people begotten in him if you all have a real resurrection of the Lord in your life while you're living. He gave me a resurrection back in those days. Hallelujah. Amen. The resurrection of the dead. And then he said, Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, not as though that I, no, he said, I'm still pressing on. Not as though I already have attained and I've already come upon it and I caught it and obtained it and have all either already perfect. He said, no, I'm still striving to be like that, the Apostle Paul said. Already perfect, complete, and accomplished. But I follow after. I'm chasing God. I follow after. I pursue. I pursue God so much until the word is diako. I pursue him until I almost persecute him. I just keep on and on and on and on. If you chase God down again and persecute him so much, say, look, what do you want me to do for thee? He said, I'm trying to do kingdom business, and your pink slips are stacking up on my desk all the time. I can't even hardly see where my desk for all these pink slips and requests you're requesting me. What do you want me to do for thee? So after a while, he said, look, what do you want? Get it. There it is. All right. That I may apprehend, that I may seize and possess and apprehend and overtake and come upon and attain down to the charge I'll take and receive. That I may apprehend that. For which, for superimposition, the word epi. I've been superimposed. God has taken charge of me, which also, cumulative and copulative, I am apprehended. I have been arrested by God as an apostle for God's ministry. He's arrested me. Now I am after him every breath I draw to make sure I get it done. I'm apprehended of, it's not just a word of, but it means hupo, under, a place beneath, underneath condition. No, I am apprehended of Christ. He has put me under him. He literally has arrested me of Christ Jesus. I've been apprehended. So if you have not really been really apprehended, it'd be good if you did. And if you never had the power of God to come upon you, and you see power of God come upon people, you mean you don't want that either? You don't want that also? If I didn't have the overcoming power of God upon me, how can I believe what I have? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
This one thing I do, first and foremost, what is first for you? What's first for me? Since I came to God, God has always been first. Him and his kingdom and his ministry. I was brought up in a denomination that loved the ministry. They lived and could come to church. So seek ye first. You want this, you need this, I need this, need this, need this. Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it over and over and over. 1979 or 1980. West Memphis, Arkansas. And General Headquarters sent me there, the General Overseer, and the General Overseer took me and sent me to Montgomery, Alabama after that. Call me. I'm praying, asking God, what am I supposed to do? My phone rings. There he is. Dr. Cecil Knight, General Overseer. We have a place for you to go. Hallelujah. I'm asking God, where am I going? What do you want me to do? What is it, God? What is it? What is it, oh Lord? What is it? Phone rings. I pick it up. He said, this is Dr. Knight. We have a place that you are to go. So when it comes down to the rubber hitting the road, they call it, or your foot hitting the ground, whatever it is, flipping Arkansas, 1979, 1980, those men wanted to go on some canoeing trip. I felt not to go, but I finally said, okay, I'll go with you. And we go up and spend the night in some cabin. Oh, my God, flipping Arkansas, some cabin. And get up the next day and we get on a canoe. We're going down the river. I was on a canoe. Now, how many knows if we're in a canoe with a paddle, how many knows I'm going to be first? I'm not going to paddle. I'm going to race down the river. You hear me? The White River. It's called the White River. No, nobody's going to pass me because I'm a racer. I race motorcycles, race cars. Now I'm racing for God. Hallelujah. So 1980, so I went. Got the next morning, getting those canoes. And you know, everybody's lined up. Now I'm at the first. And so I've got Elder Seymour in the front of it and another boy in the church. And they were like, you know, maybe three two or three in a canoe with paddles. I mean, we're talking about a good long ways down through there. All right, so we get to a place. Oh, I'm running first. Hallelujah. I'm going to be first. So all of a sudden we hit this place, turbulence of water. You've heard me say it. And it was a swirl under going around this place. And it took and threw me out of the boat. And the boat came down on me, threw Elder Seymour and that other boy out of the boat. And that boat was hemmed on me. And the suction had me down so much. Until I couldn't get up, I could not. There were men standing out there trying to pull it up. And so I'm getting to the place, I am about to drown. I'm almost at the place, I'm about to take water into my mouth. So what is my cry? I said, oh God, let me live to preach your word, oh God. That's my number one desire. Let me live to preach your word, oh God. Preach your word, oh God. Hallelujah. Let me live to preach your word, oh Lord. I didn't even ask you about my son or the other boy. Let me live to preach the word, oh God. And when I did, that boat flew up off of me. Hallelujah. It flew up off of me. I've had many things like that. God has proven me before. He sent situations in my life where it was proof. So what is first for you? All of you should have this same desire and cry. This one thing I do, first and foremost, required priority by God, and I require it of myself. I continually apprehend God and His ministry. Continually. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, Philippians 3:13. But this one thing I do. Brethren, I don't count myself, I don't conclude not of myself that I have apprehended, that I have literally overcome and taken and gotten everything in the world that God could give me. But this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting, not majoring on the past, not stuck on the past. In other words, just because I've preached so many times, I've been anointed every time, I don't take it for granted. I don't measure. I come in here. I need the anointing now, all the time. Some people don't know what the anointing of God is. The anointing of God will cause you to scratch the eyeballs out of the devil. You hear? You do all kinds of things. This ability of God. This one thing I do, forgetting. Those things, this, that, he, them, or whatever, which are behind me, in the back, that happened before. And reaching forth unto those things. He, this, that, whatever, on and on, and she, on, whatever, which are before me, in front of me, before me. I press toward the mark, right? The number one thing God requires of us is, this is what it is. The number one thing God requires of us, and who even knows this at all today, anywhere? This one thing that God requires of us, one thing God requires us to desire, is God, His kingdom, His ministry, His apostle, His man of God, His Adelphos, people of God, in the house of God. Yes. First is God. God and ministry are one. God and ministry are one. They're one. It's the order. It's order coming from the top. God didn't jump down from Himself to domestic. Oh, no. How are you going to have real domestics if you don't have really God in that house of God where people serving God and there's a man of God that helps instruct you and show you what to do? It's first spiritual ministry. It's either Him first or nothing. He'll take the back seat to no one. You better get in the house of God. You better be in the house of God with a man of God. You say, well, I don't need all that. That's what you think. One of these days you'll leave this earth. You will find out. Everybody finds out. That's the way it is. So one thing God requires us to desire is God, His kingdom, His ministry, His apostle, His man of God, His Adelphos, people of God, in the house of God. Yes. First is God. You see? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.